This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
I promised you we're going to talk a little NBA right now with Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk, like I and so many others. Kurt, how you doing, my man? You hanging in there? You COVID-free?
I am. How's it doing, buddy? Yeah, we're doing all right.
All right. I like to hear that, man. All right. So the play-in tournament is, it seems like it's, this is not etched in stone yet, right? This is something that's still being discussed. And if it is being discussed, what's the other option?
Well, technically, I should probably start by saying everything's on the table, including like playing some regular season games. That seems highly unlikely. I just don't think they're bringing 30 teams to Orlando. They're just increasing the risk for not enough reward. There's a play-in tournament's possible, and it's funny. Everything's on the table. I don't even know that they're going to make a decision on Friday when the Adam Silver talks to the owners in a big call, but. It's right now, everybody's lobbying for the thing that helps them the most. So it's like certain teams, the Lakers are looking at one through six. You know, hey, if we go 1 through 16 and just go straight to the playoffs, that sets up a lot better for us. Where other teams are like, hey, we should bring in 20 teams and do a World Cup style group stage first round. And Damian Lillard's out there lobbying like, hey, man, I'm not going to, if you bring me in and I'm playing meaningless games, I'm just not going to play. I'll sit on the bench, but if you give me something to play for, I'll be out there. You know, he's trying to lobby that they get into a play-in opportunity. It's nuts. There might be a play-in tournament, and there might not. I mean, they're kind of pushing on this both ways. My guess is they might bring in a couple extra teams from each conference, but that's the most. I don't think they're going beyond, like, 10 in the standings, but we'll see, man. Like, everybody's lobbying for everything right now, and Adam Silver is just trying to find a consensus. Good luck with that.
You know, and the Dane Lillard stuff kind of pisses me off because I treat them just like the Panthers here locally for us. Hey, the Panthers are on the outside looking in, and the NHL wants to just put the top 16 teams and the Panthers want to complain, that's your problem, dude. You're the one that didn't put yourself in a position to be in the playoffs. And I find it incredibly selfish from Dane Lillard that he's doing that now when everybody has to play under the same rules, whatever rules it is, whatever the NBA and the NBAPA have agreed on, well, then just go by it, dude. And if you wanted to be in the playoff race, well, then you should have put yourself in the top eight. You shouldn't have choked last year in the playoffs when they didn't have a good outing in the playoffs. I mean, to me, Lillard has nothing to blame but himself, and now you're using the league as a crutch and an excuse? That's cheap, dude.
Yeah, by the way, you know who you're chasing for that 8 seed? The Memphis Grizzlies, a team led by, I mean, look, Ja Morant's special, but guy's a rookie. Like, you know, you got a rookie point guard leading. Like, your team did not play well enough to get past a team led by a rookie point guard. So, you know, the blame falls on you if you're not happy with the straight 16 thing. But there are a lot of – look, he speaks for a lot of guys, not just star guys, but a lot of guys who are like, hey, I'll do what you – you know, look, I'll play, but you got to give me something to play for. If you send me for meaningless games, I don't want to do it. And it's not just him. I mean, look, if you're the Golden State Warriors, am I playing Steph Curry? Like, what's the point of playing Steph Curry in some meaningless games? Minnesota Timberwolves, hey, Carl Anthony Towns, I know your mom just died of COVID, but you mind playing a couple meaningless games in Orlando?
Well, that's different there, Kurt.
That stuff I don't get.
That one I understand saying those right there, because, I mean, the Golden State season is over, and I would not risk. Right. I mean, Steph is coming back from an injury. Why the hell would I put him out there anymore at this point?
Exactly.
Save him for next year. But Lillard, hey, man, if they do play 5 games only and you're 3.5 out, mathematically you do have some kind of a shot. So professionally, why don't you go out there and try at least? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all. And heck, seeding might change for people. 1 seed or 2 in if you do play a couple of regular season games.
he's just really lobbying for his case, which is he wants them in a play-in tournament. And it'd be interesting to see how they would handle the West, because you've essentially got a four-team tie, like 3.5 games back. But, like, you've got four teams bunched up behind them, in of which, you know, New Orleans and Zion, who everybody wants to see, is one of them. And obviously Lillard, but the Spurs are in there and the Kings are in there. How are you going to break that up? How are you going to, like, where are you drawing that line? If you mean, it's why I think ultimately they'll just go with the 16. It's just my guess. And they want more games. There's a lot of energy other directions, but I think at the end of the day, they're just going to bring in 16 and keep the bubble as small as they can.
Yeah. I love your thinking along those lines that, you know, the 16 limited, you'll go to 2024. You're just increasing your chances to, you know, bring in COVID and set everything back. Well, I think it makes so much sense.
What happens, you know, they're talking about this group stage thing where the first, you know, you'd be four groups of five in the first round, and it'd be like, you know, the Soccer World Cup where everybody plays everybody a couple of times and the winners, you know, the top two advance. You know, what happens if, just something simple, like LeBron James sprains an ankle? Lakers are done. Like, is that, I mean, where are you? I guess that could that could happen in the playoffs regardless.
Right.
But man, are you really going to roll that, or are you just going to bring in the 16? I don't get the reward of messing this up. And the other thing I hear from some people, which is some people are really bothered by the asterisk talk, which is kind of exist anyway. But if that really bothers you, then you've got to keep it as traditional as you can. The crazier you get, the more you bring that discussion in.
Yeah. No, I'm not bothered by the Spurs have won five titles. I don't go 4.5, dude. Oh, because season they played, 55, 60? Give me a break. Everybody played the same thing. Come on.
Do we not count the Yankees titles during World War II, or do we count those?
No. Yeah. I mean, of course.
I don't think anybody looks back and said, nah, you know, World War II, they couldn't have beat Cleveland. No, right. Man, it is.
Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls, not two Super Bowls and one in a strike, altered season. No, dude, no, he won three Super Bowls. That's the way it goes. Now, where do you stand? Do we go conferences, doggy, or do we go all 16 teams? Because I'm kind of with people that say, you know what, this is maybe the year you do experiment. And selfishly, and I know how you're going to love it, dude, because it's in your backyard, but selfishly, if we really look at it objectively, hell, we might end up with a Clippers-Lakers NBA Finals, which doesn't allow them to travel COVID-free. They're all in the same arena every single night. And as an NBA fan, we get the two best teams in the NBA Finals. So you tell me, do we go all 16 or do we go two conferences?
There's a real push for a straight 16. This is the one year, like you said, to do it. The pushback, weirdly, has come from some Eastern Conference owners who are concerned that once you open the door, you can't shut it. You know,
right,
but like
right.
They don't really like the idea in general. But although I will say this, it's
baseball players in the cap right now that the owner snuck on them. Oh, whoa, no. We want no cap right now, dude. Don't ever even introduce that here. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
So it's that, you know, if you bring it in. The other, I will say this too. It's not just Eastern Conference. In this case, it's Eastern Conference, but the other, it's coastal teams that don't like it. It's, hey, man, let's be honest. If you're Miami, you really don't want to get a 1-16 first round matchup against Phoenix or Golden State and wherever, regardless of where the teams are, like quality wise at any given point. Once you start flying across the country like that, man, that's just, you're just adding a lot of travel, a lot of miles that they don't want. Like, those teams don't want to go that far if they don't have to. So that pushback is still there, but I don't think this is the year to do it.
But Kurt, won't we be bubbling anyways, or are we actually going to be
this year? They're just worried about it becoming a thing.
Oh, I see.
But I'm with you. To me, this is the year to do it. By the way, if you do it that way, so sets up for the Lakers. It really, they get the side of the bracket where, unless you really genuinely think Denver, Utah, or Toronto or somebody's a huge threat, the teams that genuinely scare you are all on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I thought about this too. LeBron had the year off last year with the injury. He had rest. Yep. He didn't have the postseason. He came out like a bandit, dude. He was tearing it up. And then you could see that maybe they were maybe tiring out a little bit now down the stretch. Now he gets these 2-3 months off. Look, this I think this break has been a huge benefit for the Lakers. I still think the Clippers are the better team, but the freshness factor for LeBron now to recharge for 3 months for this run, LeBron's going to be a maniac in this one because, as you and I know, the clock is ticking. He's pulling the my cousin Vinny, my clock is ticking and stomping on the thing because he knows he's only got a couple seasons with the Lakers, so he's got to take advantage right here.
Right, and this team is poised to do it. And look, you can argue that they'd bring everybody back next year, but you never know what's going to happen, right? Like, LeBron's 35 going on 36 next season. Anthony Davis has an injury history. That's an older team. A million things can change. Things can change, and you've got to take advantage of the opportunities you've got. They absolutely have one this year. I think it's going to be fascinating, by the way, like the return. I think teams, the Lakers could benefit, you know. James Harden looked worn out near the end. Like, you were getting a lot more Russell Westbrook, but Harden had carried a huge load. He was getting double teamed the second he stepped over half
small court. Lineup.
They were throwing all this stuff at him. He's refreshed, man.
Small lineup.
He's refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, it's going to be really interesting to see if, you know, A, who kept themselves in shape and who came back a little, you know, 10 pounds heavier, but also who, you know, how much did this really help the veteran teams, or does it? Or is this something that's going to benefit younger legs? There's no way to, you know, this is unprecedented and we don't know. I kind of think it helps veteran teams, but the only way to find out is to start playing the games, man.
Kurt, do you expect fans to get back to this next year? Do you think the NBA will be fine by then and everything will end up working out?
At some point during the year, yes. And it's going to get interesting, and it's going to depend on market. And I think that the NBA is not the only team, you know, sports league dealing with this. College football certainly is. Look, they're not going to start till December. It's going to be either a Christmas start or close to Christmas start, in part because they will get more games with people in arenas, even if they can't do it in December, even if you can't load up the arenas in December. But it might be different. What's going on in Florida and the state of where the disease is in Florida or Atlanta with Georgia might be very different than New York or Los Angeles, might be very different from Phoenix, and, you know, run through your teams. How are they going to do it if the Lakers and Clippers can't open Staples Center, but, you know, the Heat can open? And I mean, how are they dividing the revenue on that? How are they going to handle that? Do they play some games on neutral sites where they can't put? It's going to be interesting to see how they handle this rolling thing. But their hope is, by starting in December, and that there being a vaccine, you know, knock on wood for the entire nation, that comes as quickly as possible and gets distributed, that they'll get more games with people in the arena.
Yeah.
That even if they don't at the start, they get more games if they start late.
And Kurt, you made another fantastic point that I didn't think about. You've lost so much this year without fans in the building for the regular season, and now you won't have the fans in the building for the playoffs, which is where huge money can be made. And if you start like normal, the NBA season, you won't be able to start with fans. But if you buy yourself some time and start in late December, January, maybe you're getting closer to where we could get to a vaccine and you can actually have a regular season with fans and you can get that revenue back. Because you're losing so much. Yeah, that's a great point, dude. The more you drag
you're getting closer to by January, February, March, knock on wood, we're a lot closer to normal, or, you know, the new normal or whatever it's going to be. I don't think everything's bouncing back instantly, but you can start putting fans in arenas again. And that's the hope. Like, you don't have that, you know, that the distribution of the vaccines to able to be completed and distributed quickly enough that you get a lot more games. You get a lot more games with fans in seats.
All right. So Kurt Helin, of course, from Pro Basketball Talk. Kurt, let's wrap it up with this. Last Dance. So everything that ends up happening now, how does Michael look in your eyes? How does Scotty look in your eyes? When we and the Isaiah situation, to me, because I lived all of this. So to me, I actually, none of this changed to me because I always looked at Scotty. Hey, dude, you walked out on your team that day. You know, the coach made the right call. Kukoc was better suited for that play, and you weren't the bigger man at that moment. So that's always going to be held against you. And as for Isaiah, I watched his whole career from Indiana all the way through the NBA. He was a dirty player, dude. He took all kinds of cheap shots, and he kind of earned that label from not just Jordan, from all kinds of people. And the fact that Jordan was kind of a G, well, I kind of knew that already. To me, I don't think anything changed for me, but I'm wondering for you, did anything change in the way you viewed these guys?
No, I don't think it was a fun trip down memory lane because there's stuff I'm like, oh, that's right. Dennis Rodman took off in the middle of the finals with WWE event. And just, you know, some of the stuff that I just hadn't really thought about in a long time, but nothing changed. There was nothing groundbreaking. There was nothing in the sense of like, we hadn't heard that before. There was great. I loved the video footage we hadn't seen before,
yes.
But it reinforced, hey, Jordan likes to gamble a lot. He's really competitive. Well, yeah, we kind of knew that.
Right.
Like, all that stuff wasn't new. I think it was interesting for people under 30 who didn't live it, who knew Jordan through,
commercials and YouTube
whatever. Clips.
Yeah.
So this was a better introduction to him. And I think that stuff was interesting to see how people reacted to him now, you know, on that stuff. It got, look, the Jordan hype got a little crazy when there is ESPN's running a poll and people are like, yeah, Jordan was a better passer than LeBron. I'm like, no, no, he wasn't. Like, we can debate who's the better player if you want, but like, he wasn't a better passer. Flat out was not. So it kind of certainly, I think, bolstered Jordan's reputation, but I don't think it changed anything for me. Like you said, I lived it. I was a fan back then. I was watching the games. There was nothing to me that changed. Maybe Scottie Pippen comes off. You mentioned it, like the downsides of him, but I think sometimes Scottie also got locked into the, dude, what was he that good, man? He was just a Robin where, you know, like he was all Jordan. You got to be reminded, you know, some people needed to be reminded. Scottie Pippen was a really great basketball player. Right?
Awesome.
Scottie Pippen was like, it wasn't an accident that Jordan needed him. So like, some guys came out as winners on that, but I'm not, you know, but Scottie's got a mixed legacy as well.
Yeah. Listen, in the end, all three of those guys were mismatches. Rodman was a mismatch. There was no way you could ever match Rodman because there's only been one Rodman in the history of the entire NBA. We've never seen another guy before him or after that's like him. And Scottie, you know, the way he developed under Michael, he developed into such a unique player because he was so good defensively, and then he was so good as a facilitator, and then he became a better shooter and a better scorer and all those things. And then, obviously, Michael was the ultimate, you know, guy that you could not match up with. That's the one thing about the Bulls that I don't think they get enough credit for, how freakish those three guys were in their own right and what they became.
And what a great defensive team they were, particularly for that era where it was, you know, people forget it was man-to-man. Guys kind of snuck zones in there and stuff, but it was a man-to-man league, and it was a lot more isolation basketball. And Pippen, Rodman, and Jordan were also long, also athletic, also smart defensively. Nobody else had that combo. Nobody else could roll out that kind of defense. It was great.
The one thing, and again, it doesn't change anything for me on Scottie, but I just wish he wouldn't have said, I would do it all over again. It's like, come on, Scottie, dude, you can't say that. And there's no way he can mean that. You can't be still butthurt to this day about the Kukoc shot when, if you're objective, the play they called, the coach called the best player, just like John Paxson or Steve Kerr was, for a specific shot that Michael passed them to because they were better shooters than Michael. So, of course, in that play, you would set it up for John Paxson or for Steve Kerr. It's the same thing with Kukoc. That turnaround jumper, that was not Scottie's game. Scottie was not the guy that was flying around picks and shooting balls. He was more of a set shooter type that you would pass it to him when he's open and he would take the shot and he was pretty good. But that wasn't Scotty was never the guy that was going to fly around, you know, what's it called, the picks and shoot right away. That's not his game. Never was.
No, and he was a decoy that game. I think he expected to get the last shot, but he couldn't. I mean, I don't want to say he couldn't create his own shot, but he couldn't create his own shot like Michael. And again, Michael had the wisdom, like you said, he could create his own shot, but when the defense truly collapsed on him, he's like, oh, hey, Paxson, hey, Kerr,
right?
Here's the Rock, you know? Like, he would give it up in the biggest moments if the shot didn't, you know, if the shot didn't create itself or if he couldn't push off on the Byron Russell and get it.
Right, exactly. And again, you're passing it to people that you know, easily, yep. Steve Kerr and Paxson and even Hodges before those guys, because they didn't win any championship with Hodges, but Hodges kind of played that same role for those guys did, but before the championship years, you know? That's the only thing I wish he wouldn't have said. I would do it all over again. That's a shame. By the way, how are you how's NBC Sports going to cover it? How are you doing it, my man? You doing it virtually, or are you gonna hit the road?
We'll see. I'm right in the, you know, I've been home for a while. I mean, I've largely worked from home anyway and travel a little bit to games and stuff. And it's, you know, look, I'm Los Angeles based, so I have the advantage of A, they're both big stories this year, but B, every team's got to come here twice, so I don't have to travel as much as a lot of guys. I don't know what's going to happen with Orlando, and I don't know what's going to happen with Orlando and media. So I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah,
I don't know. My broadcast partners will be in there, but I'm not sure how the rest of it works yet, because like everything else, that's up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. They may limit it. They may make the decision for you. Actually,
they may, and the timing of it is it. You know, my wife's a teacher. I got kids in school. If this bleeds into September, scheduling becomes more of an issue on my end. So there's just stuff we'll have to figure out.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Catch his work there at NBC Sports. He is Kurt Helan. Kurt, you're a stud as always. You and the family stay safe, my friend. And enjoy the basketball. We might be getting it back, baby.
I would love to be talking about those. What did we used to call those things we watched? Games?
Games?
Yeah, those.
Yep, those
would be fun.
Those things. All right, baby. You be good.
Man.
Take it easy. There you go. The great Kurt Helan, man. Love it. Love having him on, as always. It's fantastic to talk a little basketball with him.